Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
Good evening, friends. This is Brother Byron with the Holy Manna Radio broadcast. Pray the Lord's been blessing you today and you've had a great weekend. Well, I've got a thought today on my mind that I'd like to share with you. And if you have your copy of God's Word, if you please turn to Romans. Romans chapter 12. I want to look at verses 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And here the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I'm praying now that you help us for the next few minutes to be able to expound on this text, and that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're like me, you probably wondered many times in your life, what is God's will for my life? You know, as a pastor, I hear that question a lot, especially from the younger folks that's not been grounded in God's word quite yet. And so they don't really have an understanding of what God's will is. A lot of people believe it's some mysterious thing that we strive our whole lives to be able to understand and find. And while it sometimes seems to be mysterious to us, we don't have to wait our whole lives to figure out what God's will is for our life. In the scripture that's quoted above Romans 12 and 1 and 2, we find where the Apostle Paul, he's addressing the saints in Rome. And Paul is giving instructions on how a Christian should conduct his or her life. It's very clear that to be able to understand God's will for our lives, that we must first commit our lives to Him. Our thoughts, actions, words, even our personal appearance must be proof that we are separated from the world and unto God. The Bible says in James 4 and 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And so we know that we're to be separated. The Bible says to come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord. So if you're looking for God's will in your life, first and foremost, you must understand that you need to be in His will in terms of living for Him, separated unto Him, not living like the world lives and expecting to find God's will. That just does not work. And so time after time, the Bible gives instruction for us as Christians. And once we accepted Christ, we no longer belong to this world. We belong to Him. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we will find God's will for our life. It says to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means we must be ready, willing, and able to make sacrifices for God. We must submit our will to be able to find His will. And of course, that's not an easy task, but then nothing worth doing is easy. Let me give you a few ingredients that must be in our lives if we're to be able to understand God's will for our life. First of all, we're given a pattern in the Bible of how a Christian should live their life through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says to pray without ceasing. And if you need help in knowing exactly how to pray, or if you want a role model to go by from the Bible, look no further than Jesus. Jesus Himself was a great example for a daily prayer life. Over in Matthew 6, 9 through 18, the Bible says, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And I know we a lot of times call that the Lord's Prayer, but it's actually our prayer that the Lord all these things that's included here that the Lord would help us with. Now, some people say, well, I just really don't have time to pray. Well, listen, too many people believe that to pray, you have to get in some kind of position. You know, maybe kneel down or bend your legs, get down on your knees. While that is great, and that's a good thing to do, that is not necessary for prayer. You can pray everywhere, anytime, any position. I pray a lot while I'm driving in my car on the way to work, and that's a great time to pray when you're out here in Knoxville trying to drive in rush hour. Seriously, I pray a whole lot while I'm driving. It's just a good time. I'm alone and, you know, just with the Lord, and I can speak to Him. I'm not closing my eyes while driving. You know, the Lord can hear you with your eyes open or closed. In fact, He can hear you without you even moving your mouth. He knows your very thoughts. And so you have time to pray. Pray while you're driving. Pray while before you go to sleep at night. You know, sometimes I fall asleep praying. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm in communion with the Lord. And so the last thought of my mind is I'm talking to Him as I doze off. You know, God knows everything that you need before you even ask. But He likes to hear from you. He's your Heavenly Father. Matthew 6:8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." I'm glad of that, aren't you? Well, listen, another ingredient in finding God's will for our life is obedience. Now, I told you already that to be in God's will, that we need to live for Him, be separated. Well, part of that is being obedient to Him. And we do that through His scripture. We find out what we're to be obedient to Him for. Over in 2 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." Well, listen, as a Christian, we need to be obedient in all things. In that scripture we just read, the Apostle Paul, again, he's writing to the church at Corinth, and to confirm their love and faithfulness in Christ, they must prove their obedience. And so Paul is saying that I might know the proof of you. Prove that you're a Christian by being obedient. You know, just saying that you're living a Christian life means absolutely nothing. It's not until you fully submit and prove your obedience will you be known as a Christian. Christians were first called Christians in Antioch. And it was really a derogatory term for those early believers. It was people making fun of them. They said that they were living like little Christ, Christians. And so it was a smirk toward the early church. But nowadays we embrace that term. Well, I'm afraid too many people use it very loosely. They may call themselves a Christian, but to be a Christian means that you're following Christ and living like Him. And unfortunately, many people that have trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, quite honestly, if you look around, they're not living like a Christian. You know, the Roman Catholics, which I don't believe in that religion at all, but they have something where they call practicing. Are you a practicing Catholic or non-practicing? I believe that we have a lot of non-practicing Christians today, and that's awful. So we need to prove ourselves by being obedient in all things. Being obedient will make or break you. Think of this example. A teenager being left in charge of the house while his parents are out of town for a week. They leave explicit instructions on what he is to do in their absence. And one thing that was stressed several times was that he must feed the family's pet goldfish. "No problem," was his reply. So his parents leave, fully trusting that he will abide by their instructions. Well, the first night they're gone, the young man does feed the goldfish. The second night, he figures he gave the fish enough the first night, so he skips feeding it. The third night, he has been out late with his friends and is so sleepy, and so he doesn't feed the fish. The fourth night, he just forgets all about it altogether. And on the fifth night, when his parents call home, they inquire about the goldfish. "Yes, of course I fed him." It's about this time that he decides to check on the fish. You guessed it. The fish is now floating on top of the water. You see, even though the young man in the story had good intentions, He was not obedient to the task at hand. Well, we can compare our Christian lives with this little lesson. You may have all the good intentions in the world, but until you actually follow through with them, they are absolutely worthless. So we must prove ourselves through our obedience. Well, the next ingredient on this list of finding God's will for our life, and it's a lot, it's similar to being obedient, and that is faithfulness. On the Psalm 101 and 6, the Bible says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." Well, one of the most important things in a Christian's life is faithfulness. The Bible teaches that we are to be faithful in our service for the Lord. How many churches have closed their doors because the members were not faithful enough to attend? When you look at churches that once were bustling and crowded and bringing chairs out and parking lots filled, and nowadays you drive by or go to one of these churches and there's only a handful of people, and that's what's become of a lot of churches today. And so churches are closing. There's not enough faithful people there to even keep the doors open. Well, how can we expect to find God's will for our life if we cannot even be faithful to His teachings? If we're not faithful in reading our Bibles, praying, church attendance, witnessing, and teaching, how do we expect to see our church grow if we as members aren't even faithful enough to attend? We must get the things that are hindering our faithfulness out of our lives and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that I think about a lot, you know, I hold church so near and dear to my heart. I grew up in church. I love it. And I think, though, what would happen if you stop going to church for quite some time, and then you decided you'd go, and when you got there, you found that the church was boarded up. They'd put a closed sign on the outside of the church, or maybe a for sale sign, because nobody was faithful enough to attend, and finally, the doors just had to be shut and closed, and the lights turned off. You know that happens all the time. The very church that I was saved in, back in 1972, used to be a very large church, huge congregation of people, growing, and it was exciting. They were doing things for the Lord. And do you know, last year, that church closed, Elm Street Baptist Church. It completely closed. It got down to one man left out of all those people. Why? Because people were not faithful to the house of God. And we can blame it on a lot of things, you know, difference in demographics and age groups of people and all this and that. But listen, friends, it's unfaithfulness is why churches are closing. People are simply not faithful to the local assembly. That's why they're closing. You cannot try to convince me that you'll find God's will for your life if you're not attending His church. I know that there's those that cannot physically attend. I know that. We have shut-ins, and they're not able to attend. I know that. God knows that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are healthy, able, can get to church, no problems, but yet they're either lethargic, they don't care, they're backslidden, and so they quit coming, and then before you know it, you've got several people that way. Before you know it, you've got five people sitting in the church, you know, and the next thing happens, the door closes. So don't try to tell me you're trying to find God's will for your life when you're not attending His house. It's just not going to work. Well, I've run out of time. So we'll pick back up on this thought tomorrow as we look more at God's will for my life.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.